Book of Revelation, chapter 22 and verse number 16. Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And I'm going to preach on this subject, my favorite Bible word. My favorite Bible word. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would meet with us this morning. And Lord, I know that probably most people under the sound of my voice, the vast majority of people are saved today. But I don't think a salvation message is ever wasted on someone who's saved. I think it just causes all of us that are saved to want to clap our hands, go back, remember, revisit, re-experience that moment of the day when we truly were saved. But Lord, I also want to pray for maybe those handful of folks that are here in our church this morning that may not be saved. And by the way, that's not an unusual thing or a bad thing. We all at one time weren't saved. But Lord, it sure is a wonderful thing when somebody understands the gospel and comes to Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me as I preach to present the gospel in such a way so folks could understand it. I want to put the jelly on the bottom shelf. Maybe it's just a child that rode in on a bus. Maybe they don't have a lot of church background. Maybe they don't have, Lord, a lot of Bible upbringing, but they can understand that you love them, and they can understand that they're a sinner, and they can understand that there's a Savior. And I pray that you'd speak to their hearts as we preach this morning. And Lord, may all of us be blessed as we kind of just go back into our memory banks and remember the day when we were that whosoever. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, and you may be seated. Man by the name of Richard Baxter, he testified in this way. He said, I thank God for that word, whosoever. If God had said there was mercy for Richard Baxter, I am so vile a sinner that I would have thought he meant some other Richard Baxter. But when he says whosoever, I know that he includes me, the worst of all, Richard Baxter. And you know what? You can take every place in the Bible where it says whosoever, and you can plug your name right there, and you know what? That means you. What's your favorite Bible word, Brother Jerry? My favorite Bible word is whosoever. 163 times it's repeated and mentioned in the Bible, the word whosoever. There's a lady by the name of Lady Huntington. Lady Huntington was a Christian well known to others during the time of the revival that swept England in the 19th century. She was once asked how she had been converted. She replied, by one letter. How is that, by one letter? Yes, she answered, in God's word, 1 Corinthians 1:26, it says, not many noble are called. That M saved my soul. For if he had said, not any noble, I must have been damned to hell. So God blessed the little letter M before any to the salvation of my soul. Isn't that good? Whosoever will, amen. Whosoever will. There was a man by the name of Edwin Rushworth who was an atheist and a skeptic and refused to believe his Bible. But finally, at the request of several friends, he resolved to read the Bible for an hour a day. That same book that he had so often derided and made fun of. Wife, he said as he looked up from his first reading, if this book is right, we are all wrong. He continued his readings for another week. Wife, he exclaimed at the end of that time, if this book is right, we are all lost. He went on reading with more gusto than ever. And then he said, wife, if this book is right, we may all be saved. And you know what? They were. Both of them received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Whosoever, 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 whosoever. Isn't that a wonderful word? Whosoever! Have you had the joy of leading a soul to Christ? It's wonderful to go through the Scriptures and show someone how to be saved. But I look forward to that very last verse that I come to in the Romans Road. Because the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever done this when you led somebody to the Lord? You take your finger and just point right at that word and say, you see that word? You know what that means? That means me. That means you. That means anybody. You know, I don't have to walk through, Brother Dave, I don't have to walk through the community and walk through the world and walk through the earth and say, let's see, I've got to find the people that Jesus died for. I got to find the ones that were predestined to go to heaven. I got to find the ones that God liked enough to die for, to provide salvation for. I can stop anyone and everyone and tell them the good news that Jesus Christ died for you. Whosoever will, whosoever will. What does this mean, young people? Well, that word whosoever means children. So if you're here today, it means you. Hey, Brother Jerry, you mean Jesus died for me? Absolutely. Jesus would save me? Absolutely. But I'm just a child. Jesus loves you, and you are part of that whosoever. I love it when children get saved. I mean it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it when anyone gets saved, but there's something special about when a child gets saved. I know I've repeated this a lot, but D.L. Moody went out soul winning once, and they said, how'd you do, Brother Moody? And he said, I seen 1.5 saved. And he said, oh, you mean you had an adult and a child saved? He said, no, I meant I had a child and an adult saved. Because see, when a child is saved, it's like winning one, because they can give their whole life to the Lord. When you win an adult, it's like winning a half, because half of their life is gone. And I thought, we kind of got it mixed up sometimes. We see children come and think that they're a half. But I think God thinks that they're a whole. I've had the privilege in my life, and I mean this, it's a privilege of opening the Bible. I can't even tell you, honestly, hundreds of times, opening the Bible and showing a child how to be saved and listening to a child receive Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. I love it. I love it. Sometimes it happens in an altar up here. Sometimes it happens during vacation Bible school. Bus workers, sometimes it happens on the bus on the way home, where maybe they heard the gospel, came under conviction, and didn't know what to do or was too shy to do it. But on the way home, they come to you and you sit down beside them and hey, did you enjoy church? And they seem troubled. What's the problem? I think I need to be saved. I think I need to be saved. I have a whole memory bank of children that I've won to Christ. I can still, a lot of times when I relive this, I love reading the scriptures and looking at their face, and reading the scriptures and looking in their face, and reading the scriptures and looking on their face, and watching the wonderment that comes upon the face of a child who's understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ. Boy, that's good stuff. Oh, Billy Spriggs, my old college buddy, who's in the military now, calls me from time to time, and he served on a bus route up in Chicago, inner city Chicago. You know, it's great to be able to go in the inner city and say, you know what, I know y'all don't have much, and most of you are poor, and most of you have live a life that may seem down and discouraging, but I've got news for you. Jesus died for city people too, amen? And he died for us country folk. He died for inner city kids. Somebody needs to go to those inner cities and tell them. By the way, young people, somebody still needs to go to inner cities and tell children about Jesus. Still need to do it. Still need to do it, you see. A little boy by the name of Lewis that lived on Sacramento Street, and he was a mean kid. That kid was mean as a devil. He was mean. And so I sent Billy and Dan Poole to go down that street and visit. I said, you two go down this street and visit. They came back a few minutes later and found me a few minutes later, running down the street, and I said, what's the matter? And he said, man, you sent us down Sacramento Street. That kid Lewis is out there on his front porch again. He saw us coming, and he's got a big pile of rocks on his front porch. And every time we try to walk towards him, he gets a pile of rocks. He won't let us get by on the street. And you have to know Billy. Billy's, you know, he's intense. He said, Brother Jerry, you almost hit me. If he hits me with a rock, I want to kill that kid. And I said, let's go over there. And so I walk on there, and they're pointing down there. And sure enough, he's sitting on his front porch. As soon as he saw us coming, he jumps up and gets some rocks in his hands. You know, I mean, Stephen was stoned, you know, and Paul was stoned, and I wanted to see Billy Spriggs stoned, so I sent him down. I said, go on down the street. He's got the rocks at us. Just go down there. We're peeking around the corner. Go on down there. Just distract him. So Billy and Dan, I sent them out as bait, and they went down the street on the opposite side of the street, and they're ducking rocks, and Billy's getting mad and yelling at him. I slipped down the alley behind the house and jumped over the fence behind his house and then come sliding up between the two buildings, and they'd backed up by this time, so he'd sat back down on the porch, and he had his rocks, and he's sitting there going like this, you know. And my idea was, if you can get close enough to a guy fast enough, it's going to be hard for him to throw a rock at you. At least that was my plan. And so I waited in between the houses, and about the time he sat down, I went shooting around that house, and he was looking the other way, and before he knew it, boom, he felt something. There I am, and I'm right there. I'm right there beside him. I figure, well, he can't throw very hard from this way. And I said, hi. He looked at me, and he looked at me. And I said, did you hit any of them? He said, no, but I came close a couple of times. I said, give me five, man. He gave me five. I said, I don't like them guys. He said, I don't like them either. And I said, I'll tell you what, if they come back down here, we'll both throw rocks at them, all right? Well, Billy's sitting there watching all this, Billy Spriggs, and he sees me talking with him, chatting with him, giving him, so he thinks it's okay. So him and Dan Poole start coming down. We both jump up, start throwing rocks at him. Oh, Billy was so mad at me, shaking his fist at me. Ross, you tell him, Ross, hey, stop throwing rocks, stop it. I sat there on that porch and talked with that boy for a long time, got to know him. And by the way, you know what? His home life was a mess. Absolutely. I can't even go into it all, folks. I couldn't say half of it from the pulpit. This boy, you know, a lot of times you see kids that are ornery and mean, and, you know, they're not bad. They're just broken. Did you hear me? They're not bad. They're just broken. Some things have gone wrong. You know, maybe they didn't get the upbringing we had. Amen? And so I got to know Lewis and became friends with him. And I got him to come on the bus. And he rode the bus. He had a violent temper. There was times he'd lose his temper on the bus and we'd have to literally, physically restrain him. He'd just go crazy. But he had a lot of problems. But I remember one time after he rode the bus for some time, he wanted to talk to me afterwards. And he said, Brother Jerry, I'm not saved. I know I'm not saved. And if sin means bad, then I've got to be the worst sinner of all. Will Jesus save me? And I was so glad to be able to tell Lewis, you know what the Bible says? It says, whosoever. It says, whosoever. Whosoever. Brother Jerry, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. Whosoever. Brother Jerry, I've done some terrible things in my life. Whosoever. Brother Jerry, you don't know what's in my past. Whosoever. Whosoever. My favorite Bible world. If you're a child here without Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you, whosoever means children. You know what? Whosoever means teenagers. How many of you are in your teenage years? Raise your hand up and wave at me. You know what? That whosoever, you put your hands down, means you. Means you. I mean, Jesus loves teenagers. Jesus loves teenagers. Personally, I can't tolerate them, but Jesus loves them. I've got in my office a little bowl, a little ceramic pot with a cork in the top of it, and it says on the front of it, ashes of obnoxious teenagers. And by the way, I've got about 50 teenagers in that little pot. They burn practically down to nothing. They're mostly just hot air, so when you burn them there, they burn down to almost nothing. So you know what? Jesus loves teenagers. Jesus loves you when you're 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. You know Jesus loves you. I'm so glad that word whosoever meant teenagers. I was preaching down at a camp south of Lexington this week and preaching with Brother Gary Dyson. We were just tag teaming back and forth preaching. And boy, he's mean. Anybody know Gary Dyson? Anybody know him? He's a mean preacher. He is. He's terrible. He's mean. And they liked me. I told him, I said, I like this week. I get it. We'll do the good cop, bad cop thing. You be bad cop, I'll be good cop. They'll hate you, they'll love me. I was in on that. So, and they made a little cheer at the end of it, and they said something about Pastor Ross is number one, Pastor Dice is loud and long. They're making this cheer, and I'm sitting back there getting this. He said, I hate you. He gets up and preaches, and he's already growling. He's already got a friend. He said, that Brother Ross, I've never met him before now, and I see him get up here with his million-dollar smile, and he said, all I've got's a $5 frown. We had a good time. Wednesday night, had several services. God was moving, and Wednesday night there was a little girl that broke out of one of the pews, went out of her chair on Wednesday night, came forward and weeping and got saved. Just got saved. I mean, you could just got saved. Watch this. Watch it. I didn't know who this little girl was. I say little. She's, 15, 16 years old. And one of the workers told me later, said her parents, listen to this, her parents are missionaries. They're back from deputation, back from on furlough. And she's going to only be here for about 6 months. And she wanted to go to church camp. And she came and got saved. You know what that tells me, church kids? That, you know what? Your mama and daddy may be Sunday school teachers, but that whosoever still means you. Your mom and dad may be bus captain, bus workers, but that whosoever still means you. You may be a PK, but that whosoever still means you. I mean, you know what? Your folks may have been raised you in church, but that whosoever still means you. You must be saved. There's not one child in this room that can get to heaven on mom and dad's coattails. You must be saved. You must be saved. I'm glad that whosoever means teenagers. That whosoever means adults. Can I have you go to John chapter number 3? John chapter number 3. Isn't this a great story? Isn't John chapter 3 just an incredible chapter? John chapter number 3, we can't teach or won't this morning all the way through it, but there was a man. The Bible says in verse number 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Folks, this was an adult man. Not only was it an adult man, it was a very religious. He was a very religious man. Here he was, a man of the Pharisees, a ruler of the Jews, and he came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, How can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus went on to say in verse 5, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that's the physical birth, and of the Spirit, that's a spiritual birth, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He goes on down to explain how to be saved. Here's an adult man, a religious adult man, and he needed to be born again. And guess what? I got good news for you. Salvation was for him too. I like this man Nicodemus. I like the questions he asked, and I like the way he listened to the answers. But Jesus was very specific. He looked at, watch this, a religious man, a church man, a church guy, a church leader, and said, you must be born again. You know, young people, and let me just say that to all of us, a lot of times when I'm out visiting and talking to people and conversing with people, and I bring up this matter of salvation, and if you ask it like this, if you say, have you ever been saved or have you ever received Jesus? Almost without fail, what you'll get is in their answer is a reference back to some religious act that they performed or had performed on them. You know for sure that you're saved. Well, yeah, I remember when I was a boy, I was baptized down at the creek. Well, I'm glad that you were baptized, but you must be born again. And then, do you remember when you were saved? Oh, yes, me and my wife years ago went down to such and such church. And you know what? We walked forward and joined the church. Well, I'm glad that you're a church member, but you must be born again. You know what? There was a certain time when I went through catechism class, and then I was allowed to take Mass, and I took the holy wafer, and I took the... Hey, that's all great. Now, you must be born again. And see what Jesus said to us adults a lot of times. You know, children can get it pretty simple, but adults seem to get a lot more confused about this. We look back at our something religious that we did or some religious act that we did, and we don't understand, folks, that salvation, it occurs in the heart of a man. Amen. Repentance occurs in the heart. Belief occurs in the heart, you see. Acceptance occurs in the heart. Now, after that, there may be some religious actions, but you must be born again. And too many times, people are looking back and they're clinging on to something that they did. Listen, it's never going to be anything that you do that gets you to heaven. It's going to be what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary that gets a man to heaven. Whosoever means adults. Aren't you glad about this? Let me show you something. It'll kind of amaze you. How many of you were out of your teenage years? You were at least 20 years age or older before you got saved. Would you raise your hand? Would you mind? And if it wouldn't be too embarrassing, would you stand up? Would you stand if you were 20 years of age or older when you got saved? You know, a lot of times we'll come to church and we'll look around and we'll think, you know what? Salvation's for children. Are you listening? Salvation's for teenagers. Salvation's for people in their youth. You know what all these folks standing will tell you? Salvation's for adults. Let me tell you, there's never a bad time to get saved. How many of you stand and wish you got saved when you were children? Wouldn't that have been neat? But you know what? Aren't you glad you got saved when you did? You can be seated. Thank you so much. What a testimony. Well, maybe we ought to run the buses, but maybe we ought to knock on the doors too. Maybe we ought to go to the poor section, but maybe we ought to go to where the nicest houses are too. Maybe we ought to go down the road and visit the widow lady and the businessman. And maybe we ought to make an extra appointment for a little bit extra time with the doctor or the dentist. Hey, adults can be saved too. Adults can be saved too. Adults can be saved too. And you know I'm all for running the buses, but you know what, folks, listen to me. We sometimes act like adults can't be saved, but adults can be saved too. What a testimony that was. Praise the Lord. Boy, that was good. Whosoever means adults. Let me say this. Whosoever means senior citizens. Whosoever means senior citizens. I've got to read this to you. I laughed when I read this illustration this morning. And Brother Klein, I think he just walked in the door. Did I see him? Is he back there somewhere? All right. I've got to read this. I've got a book of illustrations. I sometimes go to it when I need some illustrations. And there's an illustration entitled Old Man Klein. Old Man Klein. Okay, watch this. I guess it's true. I mean, if it's in a book, it's got to be true, right? A certain Mr. Klein, K-L-I-N-E, a certain Mr. Klein, discouraged, defeated, and convinced that life wasn't worth living because no one cared for him, walked past a church one Sunday evening when services were in progress. As the congregation sang, he caught the strains of that familiar hymn. Listen to the words. Saved by grace alone, this is all my plea. Jesus died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me. His hearing, however, was not very good, so when the congregation came to the words, Jesus died for all mankind, he thought that they sang, Jesus died for old man Klein. Why, he said, stopping in his tracks, why, he said, that's me. He turned and entered the small auditorium. There he heard the simple message of the gospel as the minister presented the good news that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Mr. Klein believed and was saved. Amen. Isn't that good? Did you hear the words that he misunderstood? Jesus died for all mankind, by the way. It was all right that he misunderstood that because that included old man Klein too. Isn't that something? Praise God. I remember when we shut the church down in Brazil, Indiana. And we went there right after I graduated and 7 years tried to plant a church there. And God blessed and we saw some good things happen. But there come a time where we knew we just needed to shut it down and come on down here. And that was a discouraging time, to be honest with you. And I went out to the front of the church and that one evening and pulled the sign down and began to collect the things and began to get ready for the move. And even though I knew it was God's will, it was hard. And got home that evening after that day and the phone rang. And there was a guy in the community. And he sent his daughter to church, but he never would come himself. And he said, Pastor Ross, I need to talk to you. And you know what I wanted to say? I'm not Pastor Ross and I'm not talking to you. You say, Brother Jerry, that's terrible. I'm just being honest with you. I thought, you know what? I mean, the devil gets on your shoulder. The first thing I'm thinking is, yeah, you want me now, bud. Where have you been for the last 7 years? Everybody wants help, but no one wants to come and help. I mean, you know, when you're throwing a pity party, you might as well just have a big one. Man, I was serving refreshments, passing out drinks, taking requests. I mean, I was just having a big one. And I said, yes, sir, what can I do for you? Well, you know, my daughter rides the bus, and yeah, I understand, the van, and I say, yeah, I understand that. And he said, well, my brother, my older brother's dying in the hospital. He said, Brother Jerry, it's terrible. I know it's terrible, but I didn't want to go. I said, is that right? And he said, yes. And I just got ready to say, well, listen, you know, we've closed the church down. I'm wrapping things up. But Thank God for the Holy Spirit of God. He says to me, hey, what did I call you to do? So I said, yes, sir. Where's he at? What room is he in? He said, Brother Jerry, he's in bad shape. He's on a ventilator, and he's in and out of consciousness, and he's an old veteran. He started telling me about he fought in Vietnam, told me some other things about him, and I said, I'm going. I'll go see him. Watch this. I walk in the room, walk past the first bed. There's a man in that bed. I hardly notice him. I go around the curtain to the other side, and there's an old man sitting there. Not real old, but he looked old. He must have lived a hard life. He looked in rough condition. He had a ventilator, and I mentioned his name, said his name out loud, and his eyes popped open. He looked over at me. I said, can you understand me? And he went like this. I said, I've never met you before, but your brother called me. And I said, I'm a preacher. Would you like me to talk to you? And he shook his head, and tears dropped off the side of his face. I took the Bible and just started telling him about Jesus. And I explained the gospel as best I could and kept telling him, do you understand what I'm saying? He'd shake his head or he'd squeeze my hand. I just kept going until I got to the whole thing, and I said, listen, I know you can't talk, and I know the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, but you can call out to God in your heart. Would you in your heart pray this prayer with me? And I led him in the sinner's prayer, and he sat there with his eyes closed and tears streaming out. And he was in his heart. After we got done, did you say that prayer in your heart? Did you mean it to Almighty God? And I said, I'm so glad for you. And I said, I'm sorry you're in this condition, and I'll pray for you. By the way, the next day he passed away. He died the next day. I got to see him saved, and I squeezed his hand. He squeezed my hand, and I said, listen, I don't know if I'll see you on this earth again, but I'll see you in heaven. He just looked like that. I started walking out of that room, and God's all over me, and God's rebuking me, you know, and I'm praising God. He used even somebody that was as backslidden as I was at that time, and got about to the door, and all of a sudden I heard this voice from the other bed, and he said, that was beautiful. And I looked over, and I looked at this man. He's sitting in his bed. And I said, excuse me, sir. He said, what you said, that was beautiful. I said, well, thank you. It was beautiful because it was the Bible. He said, I hope you don't mind me listening in. I said, absolutely not. Here I am, getting ready to bust out the door, go right past somebody else that's lost. You know, that's our problem, folks. We get so honed in on our little bushel basket worth of problems. And you know what? Maybe they are legit. But that will cause us to walk past lost souls every time. You've got to get your eyes off yourself, get your eyes on Jesus. I've got to do a better job at that. And I turned around and I said, yes, sir. And he said, I hope you don't mind that I listened in. I said, absolutely not. And he said, I got to confess one more thing. I said, what? And he said, I hope you don't get upset, but when you prayed that prayer with him, I went ahead and prayed that prayer in my heart too. Is that okay? And I thought, whosoever. Whosoever. By the way, the guy over in this bed, I think, was about 60 years of age or thereabout. This guy was 87 years in. And I about walked right by him. Folks, let's just decide we're going to do something better this week. Can we decide that together? Let's stop walking by him. Let's stop walking by him. You know what they need to hear? One word! Whosoever. It's for you. God loves you. God cares for you. Jesus died for you. Jesus rose for you. Jesus will save you. That's what they need to hear. Whosoever, whosoever, whosoever. 161 years of combined age in that room received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. Amen. Well, I know one thing, Brother Chuck. On that day, it wasn't me. And maybe it'd be good if we learned that any day it happens, it's never us. Amen. One last point. Whosoever means children, whosoever means teenagers, whosoever means adults, whosoever means senior citizens, and whosoever means you. Whosoever means you. If you're here sitting here today and you think, I wonder if God loves me. Yep, he does. I wonder if Jesus died for me. Yes, he did. I wonder if Jesus would save me. Yes, he will. John 3:15 says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 4:13, Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." John 12:46, Jesus said, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." The preachers preached in Acts 2:21 and said this, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Acts chapter 10, Peter preached this, "To whom give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." 1 John 4:15, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God." Watch this, though, because Revelation 20, verse 15 also says this, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire." Then we go back to our text, Revelation 22, 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Brother Jerry, what's your favorite Bible word? Whosoever.